I was so stupid, Harry, said Hermione in a high-pitched whisper. He said Professor Flitwick had collapsed and that we should go and take care of him while he went to help fight the Death Eaters. She covered her face in shame and continued to talk into her fingers so that her voice was muffled. We went into his office to see if we could help Professor Flitwick and found him unconscious on the floor. And oh, it's so obvious now. Snape must have stupefied Flitwick. But we didn't realize, Harry. We didn't realize. We just let Snape go.
It's not your fault, said Lupin firmly. Hermione, had you not obeyed Snape and got out of the way, he probably would have killed you and Luna. So then he came upstairs, said Harry, who was watching Snape running up the marble staircase in his mind's eye, his black robes billowing behind him as ever, pulling his wand from under his cloak as he ascended. And he found the place where you were all fighting.
We were in trouble, we were losing, said Tonks in a low voice. Gibbon was down, but the rest of the Death Eaters seemed ready to fight to the death. Neville had been hurt. Bill had been savaged by Greyback. It was all dark, curses flying everywhere. The Malfoy boy had vanished. He must have slipped past up the stairs. Then more of them ran after him, but one of them blocked the stair behind them with some kind of curse. Neville ran at it and got thrown up into the air. None of us could break through, said Ron. And that massive Death Eater was still firing off jinxes all over the place. They were bouncing off the walls and barely missing us. And then Snape was there, said Tonks. And then he wasn't. I saw him running toward us, but that huge Death Eater's jinx just missed me right afterward, and I ducked and lost track of things, said Ginny.
I saw him run straight through the cursed barrier as though it wasn't there, said Lupin. I tried to follow him, but was thrown back just like Neville.
He must have known a spell we didn't, whispered McGonagall. After all, he was the defence against the Dark Arts teacher. I just assumed that he was in a hurry to chase after the Death Eaters who'd escaped up to the tower.
He was, said Harry savagely, but to help them, not to stop them. And I'll bet you had to have a dark mark to get through that barrier. So what happened when he came back down? Well, the big Death Eater had just fired off a hex that caused half the ceiling to fall in and also broke the curse blocking the stairs, said Lupin. We all ran forward, those of us who were still standing anyway, and then Snape and the boy emerged out of the dust. Obviously, none of us attacked them.
We just let them pass, said Tonks in a hollow voice. We thought they were being chased by the Death Eaters, and next thing, the other Death Eaters and Greyback were back, and we were fighting again. I thought I heard Snape shout something, but I don't know what.
He shouted, "It's over," said Harry. He'd done what he'd meant to do. They all fell silent. Fawkes's lament was still echoing over the dark grounds outside. As the music reverberated upon the air, unbidden, unwelcome thoughts slunk into Harry's mind. Had they taken Dumbledore's body from the foot of the tower yet? What would happen to it next? Where would it rest? He clenched his fists tightly in his pockets. He could feel the small, cold lump of the fake Horcrux against the knuckles of his right hand. The doors of the hospital wing burst open, making them all jump. Mr. and Mrs. Weasley were striding up the ward, Fleur just behind them, her beautiful face terrified.
Molly! Arthur!
Said Professor McGonagall, jumping up and hurrying to greet them.
I am so sorry.
Bill,
whispered Mrs. Weasley, darting past Professor McGonagall as she caught sight of Bill's mangled face.
Oh, Bill.
Lupin and Tonks had got up hastily and retreated so that Mr. and Mrs. Weasley could get nearer to the bed. Mrs. Weasley bent over her son and pressed her lips to his bloody forehead.
You said Greyback attacked him?
Mr. Weasley asked Professor McGonagall distractedly.
But he hadn't transformed. So what does that mean? What will happen to Bill?
We don't yet know,
said Professor McGonagall, looking helplessly at Lupin. There will probably be some contamination, Arthur, said Lupin. It is an odd case, possibly unique. We don't know what his behavior might be like when he awakens. Mrs. Weasley took the nasty-smelling ointment from Madame Pomfrey and began dabbing at Bill's wounds.
And, Dumbledore, said Mr. Weasley,
Minerva, is it true? Is he really? As Professor McGonagall nodded, Harry felt Ginny move beside him and looked at her. Her slightly narrowed eyes were fixed upon Fleur, who was gazing down at Bill with a frozen expression on her face.
Dumbledore gone?
Whispered Mr. Weasley. But Mrs. Weasley had eyes only for her eldest son. She began to sob, tears falling onto Bill's mutilated face.
Of course, it doesn't matter how he looks. It's not really important. But he was a very handsome little boy. Always very handsome. And he was going to be married.